Hey everybody, how you doing? Hey, listen up, I got a big announcement. Me and my friend Lexi Schlimmer of Hess Van Schlimmer Metalworks have recently teamed up for this year on November 24th, Riffs for Gifts. This will be a Toys for Tots charity rock show over at Pops in Sauget, Illinois, and we'll feature Outrun the Fall, The Poor, Steeples, Monk and the People, The Matching Shoe, and Silent Hollow. This will be a $10 donation at the door, or a $5 donation with a toy donation also. So we're going to try to raise a bunch of money and a bunch of toys for the kids, for the neighborhood, do a little good for the neighborhood. And I've heard a little rumor maybe that Santa Claus might be there, so that's really exciting. Can't wait to see you all out there. Again, November 24th, Riffs for Gifts over at Pops. More details will be coming soon, but do not miss this show. Biggest thing I've been a part of yet, and I'm so excited to see everybody. And it's going to be a great night for a great cause. See you all very soon. Thanks, everybody.
Hi, this is Lexi.
And Sid.
Of Hess Van Schlimmer Metalworks and Art, home of the Schlimmer Metal Wolves. We are a small but furious family-run welding, fabrication, and metalworks shop with CNC capabilities and now full-scale powder coating operation. We bring unique, affordable quality art to life within the realm of practicality. Whether it's signs, sculptures, railings, shelves, furniture, or even just powder coat for your rims or your patio set, give us a look, check us out on Facebook or Instagram, or call 618-670-5724. We are Hess Van Schlimmer Metalworks. That was terrible.
We tried.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. Let me tell you about my friends over at Naked Vine, located at 1624 Clarkson Road in Chesterfield, Missouri. Swing by and visit them anytime Tuesday through Saturday for a glass of wine, whiskey, or local craft beers. And stick around for the show Tuesday, October 9th. Rock Paper Podcast presents Singer-Songwriter Storytelling Showcase with Philip Russo, Matthew Hitchcock, and Samantha Clemens. 7 o'clock start for that show, $5 at the door. On Thursday, October 11th, The Two Tracks. Friday, October 12th, John Bonham and Friends. And Saturday, October 13th, Grass Fed Mule. Find all these shows and more at nakedvine.net. Be sure to follow along with them on Facebook and Instagram. Thanks, everybody. Enjoy the show.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast. This is Bongo Jack with Bongo Jack versus the Loot Machine.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with Bongo Jack. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. It's great meeting you, great knowing you, and awesome podcast you got going on here.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. I was thinking about it, man. This is our first time, getting to actually hang out. I've seen you several times while I'm at Broadway Oyster Bar and different stuff. I've seen you with Blue Fruit Snacks and stuff. Mm-hmm. And
also play with the Driftways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's cool to get to talk about. You have a brand new solo album you're doing as Bongo Jack versus the Loop Machine. So you've been doing the loop stuff for a while, which is the loop. I've seen several guys do, you know, different things with the loop, I don't know, man, it always blows my mind. It's really, really cool, especially seeing it live, seeing how it all comes together is really neat. So, let's go back a bit, man. Like I said, this is our first time getting to hang. I want to kind of get to know a little bit more about Bongo Jack and everything. I guess,
Where does it all start, man? Are you born, in St. Louis? And
Actually, I was born in Kansas City. I was out there until I was like 20. I'm 32 now. I was like 20, 22 or something like that. And then I left there, went out to like California and made my little trip out, you know, doing what all kids do, you know, just do a little walkabout is what my mom called it. Ended up in St. Louis. Like I said, I played drums all my life. So anyway, I ended up in St. Louis and I was in a band out here and, you know, bands kind of fall through and fall here and there. I've never really been in a band in my life. But anyway, so I stuck around in St. Louis and, you know, one band came into the next band, you know, and I was really liking the music scene out here. So I kind of stuck around here. As for the looping, what all started out then is back when I was in Kansas City, Missouri out there, I didn't even know what a loop machine was, but I used to have a tape recorder on my little CD player, you know, whatever. So I'd sit there with the drums and I'd play like 5 minutes of just basic beats, you know, and then have that recording on my tape player and then rewind that, then go to my guitar and, you know, drop it down to D. I didn't really know how to play guitar at the time. So, you know, drop it down to D and just play over the top of all the drums. I mean, that was kind of, you know, I was always kind of wanting to loop back then. I didn't really know what it was.
Sure.
Then, you know, I saw Keller Williams, Justin Torres loop project. I kind of sat in a couple times with him and like that really, really influenced me. I'm like, man, I need to get a looper, you know, so I could. And then after getting the looper, I come to realize I have to learn how to play guitar, and now I have to learn how to play. I'm working on playing keyboard. I got picked up a didgeridoo and all that stuff, and it's pretty much where I came to, you know. I picked up the looper probably like 7 years ago, I'd say. I've been teaching myself or trying to learn it ever since. The loop machine in itself is actually like an instrument, just like learning the guitar. Like, you have to know like when to stop and start and like know your measure counts and all these things. There's a lot of stuff involved into it, but I mean, it's a really fun thing to do, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
You mentioned that playing to your tape, you know, but you ever you get into Talking Heads at all?
Oh, I love Talking Heads. Actually, I do Psycho Killer on the loop machine there. Yeah, I do that one.
But there was that Stop Make or
yeah, that's start, what, that, yeah. That song I actually use the loop machine. I know what you're talking about. Stop Making Sense.
Yeah, and that video, he opens up that concert with like playing to the tape like that, and like, and I was like, it's just it was such a cool thing to like, to, especially that whole, I'm like way late into that, but like just recently like, been hanging out at Naked Vine a lot in Chesterfield, and Brian puts it on a lot at the end of the night, like closing out and everything, and so I've been watching that. I guess it's on streaming on Amazon Prime or whatever, so he plays it a lot, and I've been watching that, and I just like, but the way that concert like built, man,
I love how they build that one.
Yeah, so it was almost like a loop, like in, you know, in a grand scheme, like the way you keep layering it and stuff.
Yeah, in a grand scheme, like the whole show is like it's just him, and then he like slowly adds people in, man.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah, but anyway, but I thought that was really a cool way to start the show, just him and that, you know, press play on that boombox and stuff, and so. But yeah, man. So you start getting the loop going, and like when do you start playing out as what's the first show you did was as Bongo Jack and the Loop Machine versus the Loop Machine?
The first show I believe was actually in Carterville. My buddy Juggling Soup, I had mentioned him before. He does some shows with me, like for a visual. You know, he does some juggling stuff. And anyway, before he was juggling, he worked at this coffee shop, and he asked me, like, I don't know how I knew him, but somehow I got this show at the coffee shop, and actually brought out all my congas and did all that big thing. It was my first show, but that was probably 5 years ago, 4 years ago, somewhere around there, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's been kind of progressing since then.
Sure.
I did a lot with the Blue Fruit Snacks and doing them here and there with the Driftaways. And then I kind of backed off and started kind of doing my solo thing, just because I wanted to get these songs out, you know. I wanted to show the world what I got.
Yeah, man. Well, like I said, we got a brand new album. We have a big, we're going to have a couple of different options for you to pick it up. But a big release party here in St. Louis. You can come out and pick up a copy there and stuff, like I said, the record is will be available on October 12th. Is
that October 10th.
Oh, 10th. Sorry,
and that 10th, is the day of the CD release party at Venice Cafe.
And so that'd be the first night you can pick it up officially. And like I said, Venice over here in St. Louis. Beautiful room. Like, that's such a cool spot, man.
Man, I love that venue. It's like, they've supported me ever since, like, the beginning of my music career. Like, I went up there for open mics back before I was, like, in or, like, started with bands and stuff, and they've definitely supported me ever since day one, and I love that venue. Like, there's no other place I would rather have a CD release party than Venice. You know, that's my number one go-to spot.
Yeah.
Love the people there, and all the owners and managers, all those people are great.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously you do a lot of this by yourself. Is it just you that evening?
I'm hopefully having my buddy, he's on the album, Jesse Cruzen. He's going to be playing bass. He's on like 3 of the songs, I believe, on the album. And then I'm hoping to have my buddy Josh Serrar play some guitar. He's also on the album playing. I think he's on 2 songs on the album that I kind of threw him on there too as well. I like adding my friends and musicians in there, yeah. And also flow artists, but Venice is kind of small, so I don't know if they'll be able. We'll see. Yeah. You know, you have to come out and find out, you know. Sure.
That's the fun about, I feel like, I mean, I've never made one or record or anything, but I feel like that's the part of the fun of making a record is being able to put some of your talented friends on there too to just, you know, see how make the best product you can and stuff.
Right, so, yeah. Right. I mean, I wanted more of my friends, but
yeah.
As a time crunch, you know, always trying to get stuff done, and I actually did the whole album on my own. Like I said, I learned the DAW program, and I used my loop station to do pretty much the whole album. So what I did is I would record the loop on the loop station. The loop station is a pretty nice loop station where you can save the loops and then transfer the loops from the loop station to a computer. So I took the track from the loop station, put it to the computer, went back to the loop station, recorded another track, and then keep going on and on, adding tracks to each of these songs. Then I sent it up to my buddy Tyler Willenbrink up in Madison, Wisconsin. He actually helped record the Blue Fruit Snacks album, but I had him mix, I think there were six of the 8 songs he mixed on the album, so.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Is that, so like, when you're doing that, like, so, I mean, obviously we got the final product you hear, but like, when you start a song, like, do you kind of have like that in your head and you're trying to figure out how to make it? Or is it like just start with like a guitar part or a bass part and you just keep building it to where you're like, hey, that sounds pretty cool. All this like comes together. And
it's pretty much right what you said at the end there. It's like, yeah, it sounds pretty cool. Like everything that comes together, like I kind of, there's different songs depending on the song or where I'm trying to go with it. Like my normal go-to would be like to start on like just like a drum track, just an easy 4/4 drum track, and then I can layer like as many measures over the top of that, you know, with a guitar, or they have a bass line running, you know, over the top of that. But I also start like on the guitar, or I'll start with the bass line, you know. It just depends on the song or what direction I'm trying to go with the song, whether how I start the loop, and then, you know, kind of builds up after there, trying to add whether verses and choruses or just stopping to play the verses and choruses and all that stuff like that.
And then it just becomes muscle memory after that?
I don't know if it's quite muscle memory. Yeah. It's like I'm constantly thinking in my head, okay, where do I go next? You know, like as I'm singing the verse, like, okay, I got to go to didgeridoo next. This is the next thing coming on, okay. And, oh, remember the verse. Right. Okay, didgeridoo, coming up. It's a lot of practice. I've been really playing a lot of practice, yeah.
So what do you got? You currently have guitar, vocals, you have a... drum, bongo box, right?
I'm using a squango. I call it squango. It's actually the Came of the One Drops named it that, but it's a conga cajon, laptop conga cajon. It's just a little acoustic campfire, awesome, best $100 ever spent, you know, like, and I use that, I put that up on a music stand for my percussion end of things, and then I also have some little shakers, a little vibraslap, tambourine, a whole bunch of fun little percussion instruments.
Right.
And then, like you said, I have a guitar, which is running, which I have like a little octave pedal that runs bass lines where I can have the bass lines running. And then also effects on the guitar, like distortion, a filter, just a whole bunch of effects. Then also I have a keyboard, which is running my like electric drums. Like I actually recorded, Kevin Krause from the Driftways. I recorded his drum set with just like a little thing we're using here. Recorded his drum set with a kick. Recorded his snare, recorded his tom, recorded his, you know, each individual one of those drums. I took it back and brought it onto my computer, you know, kind of put some more reverb, you know, made it sound a little bit better. And I took those, each of those, and made them samples onto my keyboard. So I got a little sample pad on there where I can run the drums. So I'm running just like the drum sounds. It's not like a full beat. You know, I'm making the beats. You know, just like I have kick, snare, and then some hi-hats and stuff like that. And then inside of that keyboard, also, I have a synthesizer that I'm running, which is just running a couple different synths on there. I mainly use just the one. It's got a real soft sound, kind of wompy, like, and then I'll use a lot of the slicer inside of the pedal that I have. It's a slicer. Man, that thing is so much fun. Like, you heard it on that last song, Feed the Flame, where I just, like, cut it up. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And then, Didgeridoo.
Didgeridoo, and then I also play harmonica. Just pretty much anything I can get my hands on.
Sure.
I'm working on some horns, I think would be my next step, right?
Yeah. Get an accordion, you know, like that. So, yeah. Yeah, man, that's, it's just like I said, like, it's really cool, and I think it's the visual. Like, I mean, obviously seeing you doing all this stuff, making it come to life, layering it and bringing it all together, like, is really something special to see. Like, it's, and I, for me, like, I don't know anything about music, but I do know, like, obviously you gotta have a lot of talent and timing and everything. It's all, especially with that loop, it's like, it's all timing.
Yeah. Yeah,
getting that right and stuff. So
definitely, but it's a metronome in itself. If sure. you once you get it, you know. Yeah,
right. Well, you mentioned Feed the Flame. This is track two. You did a live version right here on the show today, which, like I said, I got to watch you do it, and it was really cool to see. So but tell me a little bit more about Feed the Flame.
So Feed the Flame, I wrote that song about 3-4 years ago. I went to a festival down in Southern Illinois called So Ill Fire and Flow, Fire and Flow Retreat. So it's a festival for... the poi, you know, fire poi, that the guys that spin, breathe fire, and just do stuff with flow arts, you know, like that. I went to this festival and I got really inspired. Like, you know, I was like, man, this is really cool. I want to write a song about this flow art, you know, like about this people spinning and breathing fire and doing all this stuff for these flow arts. And the guy who ran the festival, Grant Harris, is a good buddy of mine. And anyway, I came up to, you know, I wrote the song, like, when I was, like, in my car. It was actually a different way of writing. Normally, I'll write, like, a guitar and drums, you know, I'll write all the music end of it, and then I'll put some words to it. But this song I actually wrote first, like, in my car, just, like, driving. I think I was driving to Kansas City. I was, like, starting to write some stuff down. I got some help from my buddy Johnny out in Kansas City. He helped write a verse, just kind of rhyme. The Hollowed Ground is the one I remember he wrote. Kind of helped me rhyme some words together to make the song complete and stuff like that. And then I got it out and finally getting it on an album now.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it sounds great. Thank you. It was definitely the one that like stood out to me, like it's my favorite track. But I mean the whole record sounds really good, and it's like I said, you recorded all this yourself, which I think is really impressive too, like to see there's a lot of guys that are kind of getting, I mean, the technology's come so far now where you can do a lot of the home recordings and stuff like that. And so,
well, I figure Ween is a really big influential band of mine. Like, I love that band. Like, and like, they recorded one of their albums on one of those Tascam 16 track like tape recorders.
Right.
And like, they recorded, and the album sounds fine to me, you know. And like, I figure if they can do that, then I feel like I can, you know. And the fact that that I couldn't do what I did on the album inside of a studio because of I wanted the parts that I wanted, and having people come in and like getting the time for those people to come in and like, hey, will you come and record? You know, I mean, I could have done that in a studio, but it wouldn't have been as homey or as, you know, you couldn't have got those extra, you know, parts that you really wanted in there. I feel like. So I felt like I did a pretty decent job, and like I said, I was just learning the programming, so.
Yeah. So I mean, and of course it's, we all start somewhere, so it's like,
right.
You got to think about what the next one's getting even better when you keep learning and stuff. So
right.
I feel like that with my, even with this show, man, like I went back just last week, listened to like an early on episode, and I'm like, man, he was like, it was kind of rough, you know. It's like,
now you get it.
Yeah, but it's like
everything takes time.
Sure, yeah. So yeah, like I'm just thankful people are still listening to this now, because like I said, when, you know, some of those first recordings I threw out there doing the show, I feel like, you know, man, I'm really, it's really just cool to see the progression, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just nice to, that I feel like I'm way more comfortable doing this show now, just as you are as a performer, I'm sure, and everything else. Like, we all start somewhere, and it's like, so thanks to those people that stuck it out with us.
Right.
And believing in it and stuff, so.
And you're doing a great job now, man. I see you everywhere, promoting everything, helping us out like no other, man. I can't thank you enough.
Oh, thank you, sir. Yeah, I'm trying, man. I love it, though, man. This, like, there's so much cool things happening right now in St. Louis, like, I'm just trying to do my part to document as much of it as I can, and like I said, if I can keep the conversation going about music all the time, like that's a win for me. Like I think I get more comments and compliments and everything about those lists of events and stuff in town than anything else I do. But and I'm glad people are digging it and stuff, but getting out and actually going to shows and supporting live music. So that's what it's all about.
Sweet.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, Lee, was like, so we do have the release party on October 10th at Venice Cafe in St. Louis, but you got a couple other big opportunities to come see Bongo Jack on, October 12th at The Office.
October 12th at The Office in Belleville.
And October 13th at Martini Joe's.
Martini Joe's in Marion, Illinois. So I'm going from St. Louis to Southern Illinois doing a little album release, little mini, small, super small mini tour then.
Right. October 19th, you're heading out to my area. I live out in Wentzville, so you're heading out towards Redfish Bluefish in St. Charles, Missouri.
Yep, got a show with Blake Gardner and the Farmers, and also Dean Justice. Justice and the Experience, I think, what it goes by. It's gonna be a fun little show.
Yeah, I don't know much about him, but we have a date on the calendar. We're supposed to meet up.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy, man. Yeah. You'll see. He's a really, really heart down to earth. You know. He's a good guy.
I'm looking forward to getting to meet him.
He actually came by and jammed just like 2 weeks ago with me. You know,
very
he was just singing some songs. I was playing some bongos with him. Like, oh, this is fun, man. Yeah. He's a cool guy.
October 21st. You're opening for Swampy Sundays?
Swampy Sundays. I'm doing this that DJ thing. I'm going to try to come up with my fastest tempo. Come up with probably have Feed the Flame do that in there, you know, kind of give that electronic-y vibe, you know, probably do some couple covers, like Pretty Lights and stuff like that. And you'll see. It's going to be a fun little show.
Yeah.
And then we got K-Bass coming out. He's got some dubstep stuff. He's the guy to kind of help me get into that show, and thank him for helping me out on that one.
Yeah. And October 26th, what's it, Denight?
At Denight in Murfreesboro, we're having a little Halloween party with me and my buddy Juggling Soup. We're going to be doing it's called Spook Denight Away. Because this venue's called Denight. I thought it was a good little catchy little.
There you go. But you can get involved with Bongo Jack. We got the Facebook page. You can find all the dates there. And, Bongo Jack versus the Loot Machine is the page,
right? Yeah, facebook.com/Bongo Jack versus the Loot Machine, or you can Google Bongo Jack, J-A-K. There's no C in my name. It got lost out at the C. Just gotta help you remember that. And then my album should be out on digitally on the 10th, so you can find that all over like CD Baby, Amazon, iTunes, and pretty much all those big music streaming sites.
Yeah, very nice, Sam. Let's share a little bit. So, like I said, we did share a live one, but let's share some of these tracks that you actually from the album. We want to start with "Ja Is Gonna Live On." Appears as track 5 on the record, and this one also you mentioned Jesse and Josh, and they're featured on this track.
Yeah, I got Jesse cruising playing bass. He's got a nice little awesome little bass solo in the middle of there, and then buddy Josh, he does some lead guitar on there with a little, just kind of helps ease in some of the songs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's a great little song. Just about.
Anything you want to add to it? Is it how this one came to be or anything?
It doesn't really have the skank of reggae, but it's got the real vibe of reggae. I didn't really know how to skank back when I wrote the song. I just started writing, some songs, and Jesse came over, laid down a bass line. I was like, oh, this has got a cool little riff. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to call it Ja Is Gonna Live On. And then that's the verse, and then the chorus, and then I just kind of wrote some verses down here and there. It actually took me this album like a week before I recorded. I wrote the last verse, or the middle verse actually. Just wrote the, I've had the song for like 3 or 4 years, and
yeah,
finally wrote the middle verse to get it on the album.
There you go.
Thank you.
I just hung out with Jesse just a bit ago. Me and him went to, it was the, 20th anniversary of the Big Lebowski.
Oh, yeah?
I think it was 20. Something like that. And me and him went to the, it was a screening event or whatever at the theater. It was, so they were playing it at the movies, and me and him went and, we were joking about getting White Russians and going to and all that stuff, but we didn't make that happen. But it was still a great time. Me and him just hanging out, watching Big Lebowski and cracking up. And
that guy's a trip, man.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I love hanging out with him. I used to live in O'Fallon, Illinois, and that's how we really became friends. Is he'd come over and jam. He used to live down the street in O'Fallon as well, so we made real good friends doing. Playing music together and stuff like that out there in O'Fallon.
Yeah, very cool. You you mentioned kind of the reggae sound throughout this record and stuff. Where how does that is that did you have somebody early on influencing you on that stuff?
Oh, well, I love me some Bob Marley, King Tubby, sure. Some all the old W reggae. I'm in this reggae band, the Driftaways. Big influence on what I do. I love those guys and. Mm-hmm. Great musicians, and
for sure.
I just love the reggae vibe. I've always loved it. Ever since I was little, like, Mom, play some Bob Marley.
Yeah. Wait, so your parents were big on that too, or?
My mom liked the Bob Marley. That was about the only thing in reggae she liked. But I mean, she liked that. And she'd play it for me. I think she bought me the legend, that Bob Marley legend album. Sure. When I was like 10, 12 years old, something like that.
Yeah, man, that's so good. That's that stuff's just classic, it's like it just holds up so well. His lyrics are as current as ever, it's like his music just keeps coming back, and it's like, but I mean, it's not a message that we all can relate to. It's still something, it's all peace and love, man. It's like that, so it's still current today,
right?
Which is
awesome.
Not a lot of music can transcend that, for 40 years or whatever. So, but yeah.
I also got a lot of other influences, not necessarily just reggae. I also like a lot of funk music. I've been getting into a lot of like old funk, like the Commodores and Average White Band, all the old funk bands and stuff like that. And I like pretty much everything.
Yeah.
I try to get influence from what I can. So this album is kind of a real mixed genre. I try to meet to, if there's a song on there you're gonna like,
Okay. Well, you mentioned like Feed the Flames, like kind of has that more electronic sound,
a little
more that kind of EDM and almost in there and stuff, like some of the effects with the synth and things like so. It was definitely there was a little bit of everything on there for sure.
Yeah, back when I first started kind of playing percussion, I would like turn on like Pretty Lights or some stuff like that, and I just turn it on and have my drum and just go ham, and like that's really got me good at playing the percussion, just kind of having that steady beat to play to, and like I've always been intrigued by the dance electronic music stuff like that, but I like to do it live, I don't want to push play and just run effects through it. No, I want to play the instrument itself.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's something that's kind of, there's so many people can just do it on their computer and stuff, and that's cool, but like it's not a great show, like if you just go press spacebar.
It could be Bass Nectar.
Yeah, right.
Where all the stuff goes into production.
I appreciate live entertainment. I have people that could actually play the instruments and create these things. Saw the other night, speaking of funk, I went to Funk Fest in St. Louis, and I talked about it the other night, but like still it was an incredible show. But a group called Fuck Monster closed out the night at Funk Fest on night one, and a couple of St. Louis all-stars, Dave Grelly, Kevin Bowers, Adam Huckey, Ben Reese, Nathan Hershey, and they were creating this all these sounds like live, like they're two keyboard players going, playing all kinds of crazy synth and different effects on there and stuff, and the horns and everything. So like they were doing it, type of EDM type of, kind of stuff, this really dark, heavy funk music and stuff. And it was like, it was awesome. But heck, like, yeah, seeing them do it all live, and the kicker is they were like, I think most of the guys were wearing these like crazy bunny costumes.
Nice.
And then like, so to do it all and wearing like a crazy costume, like, you know, on the helmet and all this stuff, a mask, whatever, and then the two horn players are wearing like Libre or whatever, Mexican wrestling mask.
Oh, yeah. Little Serious Gold or something.
Yeah, so it was a pretty wild show, but so, like I said, it's possible to do some of that stuff and create it all live and make it a even, you know, better experience, I think. So that's my personal take, mine. So, I mentioned some of the darkness and stuff. I feel like Flaubert is kind of more of a kind of a darker sound on the record. It really like took me. I liked it a lot, and like
it's a little darker. I don't have that is honestly, it was that bass line. I was just like, I played this, it's B and C. It's a whole song is, but like I like did a pluck with the B and C, like a different way of holding it, and like, man, I really like that. You know, and I just kind of build it off of there, man. It's that, it was really dark and ominous, but like still kind of like, okay, I can dig this, you know.
It's almost, yeah, like I felt like, I don't know, just almost like kind of a, like a horror movie or, you know, something like, it just kind of felt more appropriate, being that we're coming up to Halloween, it kind of felt like appropriate for the season.
I've gotten some good feedback on that song. Yeah. I appreciate the feedback you're giving me, man. I didn't know what to think of it, you know, like I was like, well, here it is, you know, but I appreciate that. Like, I played it at a festival earlier this year, Peachtree down south, and I got off the stage and they were like, man, that, what was that song you did where Aaron was dancing? And I was like, it was Flaubert. And Flaubert? And she's like, yeah, that's the one. I'm like, like, sweet, thanks.
Thank you.
Who was featured on that one?
I have, so like I said, I wrote it for the Dancing Bear Tribe. Lana came up to me and asked me to help write a song for a promotional video that they were going to do. They haven't yet started it yet, but I think it's going to be coming here soon enough. And so I wrote this song. She wanted it to be 6.5 minutes long. I'm like, okay. But yeah, I started with that, and then I had them come in, and I got Lana Mae on there doing some vocals, just some backup vocals, just like some kind of background, sounds. And then I got Ren Bear kind of doing Ren Spins. She goes by Dancing Bear Tribe, doing kind of like a spoken word kind of ordeal. And I mixed it was a really cool part in the album is I have the synthesizer going, I got the low octave, and then I got the high octave going, and I have her doing her like spoken word, and I kind of messed around with it on the computer there, and I was like, when does it start, or something. She said something, I can't even remember what she's saying, and I took her thing and I spread it out, you know, I slowed it down, spread it out, and then I have a slicer running, like I was explaining before. I have a slicer running on the high octave of the synth, so right as I push the slicer on the synth, her voice goes along with, like, they had to sit there like zooming in, cut up each little piece and slice it along with their voice. But I think it sounds really cool going in there. It took a long time to actually like get down there and get into that track and do that, but I think that was really cool.
Yeah, man. You mentioned like sampling Kevin's drums and stuff, putting them on your samples and stuff. Do you have any other like random record? I mean, do you get into like different stuff, just like sampling other weird things like that, or
like I'll do the Sublime songs. Well, I'll do a mashup of the Sublime song "Smoke Two Joints," and I'll do I have a sample I recorded. I just got on YouTube and I recorded, or I downloaded the song or whatever, and I just took the little sample from the very beginning. She was living in a single room, you know, and I'll clip that in every once. But I really don't like to use samples too often because it's not. Live, you know, right. It's like something pre-recorded, but like people understand that, okay, that's not him, like he just pushed a little button there, okay, yeah. But I really don't like to use it too often, and sometimes I'll throw in Pickle Rick recorder on there. I'm Pickle Rick, you know, right. And I'll throw that into like a random song, you know, sure. In a little show or something like that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think that just some of those random things are kind of fun, like that they just throw in there and stuff, like just even like almost like you know, sound effects drops and different stuff, just like, but something like that, like it just kind of, it's still live, but it's just fun to like, it's almost makes it a little more relatable at times, like especially something like that people love, like Sublime, like that. So
right,
but yeah, man, I didn't know, I just like, you know, you just mentioned had your field recorder. I didn't know if you ever just even like something at a festival or whatever.
I haven't done that. No, yeah. I was thinking about, like, I know Justin Torrey, I didn't want to steal it from him because he did it. He had the Chaos Pad that's got a little sampler built into it, and he's got a mic that plugs into there. Anyway, what he used to do is he'd have people come up and run a sample, like say something Rage, you know, and then he'd use that from the live audience into one of his songs. And I was thinking about doing that. I could do that, like if I came out and brought out my iPad and like right. had somebody in the middle of, you know, it's like I could do that, but then I don't want to steal his, you know, his thing, you know, but I think that would really be cool. I might do it at one of these shows.
Yeah. Yeah, Justin's a bad dude too. Man. Big shout out to Cluster Pluck also.
Cluster Pluck, yeah, yeah. I saw Chris Rader last night at
Forrest Gump thing.
That was something to see, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, I missed that, man. I really was wanting to go or just couldn't make it happen. But I've seen video and stuff where they're all different Forrest Gumps.
Different Forrest Gumps, yeah. It was cool.
Yeah.
It worked, man.
Yeah. Well, again, you got several opportunities to come see Bongo Jack live coming to a town near you. You pick up a copy of the brand new album, available again October 10th. Be available digitally everywhere, but you can get physical copies. We have those in hand, so come out and pick up one of those. Again, at October 10th at Venice Cafe in St. Louis, Missouri, and everything else you can find on Bongo Jack versus the Loop Machine on Facebook. Do you do the Instagram or anything else?
I'm on Instagram as well. I think it's just Bongo Jack. Like I said, there's no C in my name. It's just J-A-K, Bongo Jack.
Yeah.
J-A-K.
But yeah, man, this has been a ton of fun getting to hang and I really enjoyed the live performance and everything else, man. It's been a fun afternoon.
I appreciate you coming here and doing all this stuff and doing everything that you do for the music scene out here in St. Louis, man. I don't know where we'd be without you, you know. Appreciate everything you do, buddy.
Thanks, man. Yeah. So you said we are doing kind of a little mini tour. What going into closing out 2018 and going on, like what's next for Bongo Jack? I mean, with this record and stuff, like
I'm trying to kind of tour it out. I'm trying to, you know, branch out a little bit. I'm working on a little tour down to like Springfield, maybe Oklahoma, coming here in like the beginning of December, and then maybe next year. I don't know quite where I want to go yet, but maybe who knows? I'm thinking east. You know, just kind of like figure out something like that. But like right now, I'm working on a little actual mini tour down to like Springfield and Oklahoma, maybe Arkansas if I can get in down there. Mm-hmm. Just working my skills, doing what I can.
Sure. Well, I imagine that's probably one of the biggest perks of you know, playing solo like this, is that you can just get in the car and go and not have to, you know, try to get the band together and stuff. And
yeah, that's being in a band. It's, I mean, that reggae band, there's eight of us, and right. Sometimes nine of us, you know, like, and it's just getting everybody in the same room at one time is hard enough as it is, and this being all by myself and me being able to do everything, it's definitely a lot easier in that aspect. But then there is that where you're on stage and you're just by yourself on stage. You're like, it's just you. You mess up one note, you know, you know, and everybody else knows. You know, like, you're in a big band and then you miss one note, like, you know, no big deal, you know. But it's definitely like, when it's just me, it gets kind of, that's why I like to have like another musician or a flow artist, somebody come in and sit in with me, you know, kind of help bring out that good vibe, you know.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for somebody who want to do this loop and stuff and all?
Anybody who asks me, like, hey, they always ask me, what looper do you use, or what kind of looper should I get? And they ask me this all the time, and I always have to tell them, like, it doesn't really matter what brand you get or whatever, as long as it has two buttons on it. One's going to be record an overdub, and the other one's going to be stop. Like, that second button, that stop button, is really, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, credential or whatever. It really helps to have that second stop button, you know. Yeah. So if you get a looper, just, you want the one with two buttons, not the one with one button, because then you have to sit there. I don't know, I've heard people have issues with the one button, you know. It's get the one with the two buttons, and then you kind of go from there, you know. Definitely learn your rhythm, you know, keep your timing and all that stuff like that.
Yeah, I know, man. Well, again, everything online, coming out into the shows. Again, Bongo Jack's coming to a town near you.
Oh yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, buddy. I really, like, again, I thank you for doing this. It's been a lot of fun, and I'll see you soon, my friend.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Thanks.
Much love.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.